man cave, a sanctuary, a sacred place, a place where we can go talk about the things we want to talk about, a place where we're surrounded by our favorite teams, a place where everyone is welcome. Grab a seat and a beverage. This is the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is another episode of the Man Cave Podcast. Dan Casper here, as always. Appreciate you tuning in to another episode here of the Man Cave Podcast. Reminder, if you haven't done so already, I'm going to keep reminding you, but if you haven't done so already, make sure you are sharing the podcast. Spread the word. And I was going to say noise, but spread the word, all right, on your socials, Facebook, Twitter. And if you have the ability to subscribe to the podcast, it's free. But, like, if you have iTunes, you can, like, you know, follow it, subscribe it. Spotify, you can add it to your library, your favorites. Make sure you do so. That way you know when a new episode's coming at you, all right? And if you have the ability to rate it, like on iTunes, give it a 5 and put some comments. That way it gives more people to, you know, spreads the word that way. It shows up in searches and all that sort of stuff. But, hey, we're available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon. It's all over the place. This is episode 2 for this week, as we try to do 2 a days. Two a week. That doesn't sound as good. But this episode, able to catch up with a couple of good friends here. Pauly Henricks, who has been on the pod before. But Pauly, official coach, always just like hanging out, chilling out, and just chatting with Paul and picking his brain. He's so smart. He's so easy to talk to, and just kind of getting his input and his insight on so much. So it was a good conversation with him. And then Aaron also back on. Usually we talk a little outdoors with Aaron, but again, I just like talking with him and kind of picking his brain on a bunch of stuff. So we chat a little football too. But both are just awesome listens. They're amazing people to talk to. And, you know, that's kind of the one thing I do with the radio show as well. I don't come with a script. I don't have a script. I don't have pre-planned questions. Maybe once in a while if I'm doing like an interview, I might have like one or two. But then I just kind of feed off those questions, kind of feed off of maybe something that was in an answer or something like that. And that's kind of what's like these conversations with Pauly and Aaron and a lot of other people. And it's on my radio show too. I don't come with a script. I don't write everything out. I don't follow a script because I just want it to be free flowing. I want it to be a casual conversation. Like we're pulling up some bar stools and, you know, where we're chatting away or hanging out in man caves and we're chatting. That's kind of the flow that I go with the podcast, also the radio show. You know, I come in the mornings, do the radio show. I don't have a script written out. I don't. I'd rather have it be a free-flowing conversation because it's more natural that way. It's more entertaining that way, right? So that's kind of my philosophy. I might be in the minority in that, but I feel like it's better listen. It's more real, if you will. So with that being said, first up is going to be Pauly, and then we're going to be chatting with Aaron too. So really appreciate you tuning into this episode. I think you guys are going to enjoy listening to these fine individuals, these awesome two individuals. You're going to learn a lot as well. So make sure you pass it along. Pass this podcast along. Pass this episode along. But up first is my conversation with Mr. Pauly Henricks and then Mr. Aaron. All right, back in studio, we're chatting up with our good friend, Mr. Pauly Henricks. Good to see you again, bud. A couple months removed. No baseball season?
Yeah, a little change in the weather here, and football season's moving on and getting into hoops. It's crazy how fast the time flies.
Yeah, so last time we talked to you, you were still coaching with the Express. You were getting ready for some demolition derby stuff, and what I just see on the socials the other day, you had to retire a car or something like that?
That is correct. The 1978 LTD is getting stripped out, and hopefully today will make its way to the junkyard.
All right.
So definitely got to smash some iron this summer, so it was good.
Before you're off to officiate some football, too.
That's right. Playoff football starts tonight, which is kind of exciting around the state here of Wisconsin. We'll get to head over to Stratford tonight for the Westby versus Stratford game. So it should be exciting to get back out on the football field for some playoff games.
So, you know, one thing, we're a lot of topic of discussion, I'm sure you've heard about it too, like the last week or so, mostly like NFL with the officials and calls and, you know, people complaining about them and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was listening to like Pat McAfee's show the other day, and he was talking about it quite a bit. And, you know, he's like, how do we make this easier? And, you know, why can't they just do the sky judge and call down and everything? And I was thinking about it too. And I'm like, you know, Paulie's an official. Like, if you, and I know it's not, you know, high school, NFL, different stuff like that. But, like, as an official, if you had the opportunity where it would make it easier for you, like replays or somebody radio calling you, like, hey, this is actually this call, is that something you think officials would embrace? Or is that, in your opinion, it kind of takes away from the human element, the human error sort of thing? Because I've never officiated, you know, little kids, but that's different. But, right. You know, would officials be open to that? Is that something like you would be open to? What's kind of the mindset there?
You know, my personal opinion on that is that it does take away from the game. Mm-hmm. You know, having that human umpire, human referee there to make that call is part of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing all these replays and all the stoppage of games and all that, I'm not for that. I'd rather, you know, the ref calls what you see, and, mm-hmm. and we're all going to make mistakes out there, and it just slows the game down, in my opinion, so much. You know, watching these NFL games, and you know when they're going to replay, and most of the time they are, you know, getting it right after replay, yeah. And that's the frustrating piece is, you know, the official tries to call what you see, and you know, even watching the game last night on Thursday night NFL, there was one, you know, right down in the end zone, and mm-hmm. sure enough, the guy stepped out of bounds, but gave him the touchdown, and you have to go and review it and get it right. But, you know, watching the baseball thing and, you know, balls and strikes, I think that's part of the game is, you know, mm-hmm. waiting on that umpire to see what they do call.
Right. And that's kind of like the human error, because I think social media and the internet has played, and technology 2021 with TV has played such a huge deal. I made the comment the other day, I'm like, you know, of all the video clips of like Lombardi, I've never seen him like barking an official. You know, there was like, now you see coaches and players. You like back in the day, I don't remember ever seeing that, but I think it's because the technology we have
right.
today.
And nobody ever knew if they were wrong because right. you never were able to see it on video again afterwards. So I think you're right on that with the, you know, the technology we do have, and you mm-hmm. know, being able to get these videos almost simultaneously as they're happening is just crazy in the world.
Yeah. Do you think eventually, though, like with the way it's trending, we're going to get to a point where everything's going to be like reviewable? I know baseball is toying with what the robot umps or like the app on their phone
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that.
I mean, I think so. Just that element of getting things right, mm-hmm. Because you know, losing games on that bing bang call like that, I think is important. So,
yeah.
You know, I think things are eventually going to evolve to that. Don't know how long it'll take, but I think it is coming.
And I think, you know, because I heard Mike Pereira mentioned the other day, he's like, you know, it's not necessarily the officials are getting like worse per se. It's like, the leagues are making it harder on them. You know, they're getting confused at times, or you know, they're getting everything's thrown at them. And then at certain points too, I thought he made a point of like saying, you know, some of them are relying upon that voice in their ear too, instead of just making the call and sticking with it at that point.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that is part of it, and it'll be interesting to see how things keep moving forward with that. And
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just hard, you know, of, you know, what should that umpire or what should that referee call, and, you know, mm-hmm. how's that all going to work out? You know, you try to do the best you can, and mistakes are going to happen.
Why are you an official? You know, like, do you like getting yelled at all the time by coaches?
Well, and that's the interesting piece with me coaching, being on the other side of it. I've changed because you're not barking at the officials anymore on the basketball court, because I've been in those, mm-hmm. you know, shoes in those situations. And you know, especially the football piece, you know, I don't have the time to coach it, but I still want to be around the game. You know, mm-hmm. I loved football growing up, and I still love, you know, watching it. And you know, obviously can't play anymore, so, you know, giving back that way and mm-hmm. officiating is one way I can do that. There is such a need for high school officials right now. It's
yeah.
just crazy. I mean, there's games throughout the season you could show up on a Thursday night on your email, and boom, we need officials on a Friday. Are you interested in driving here, driving there, and just trying to make a crew to mm-hmm. to get enough for officials? So it's a way I can give back and, you know, still stay around the game.
Right.
So I enjoy that. One of the interesting things I always do with my players is if they are one that is barking at the officials, they need to put the stripes on.
Ooh,
and it's
yeah.
interesting how fast they change when they, you know, mm-hmm. have to make the call, and then all of a sudden people are getting after them on the court. So I've really seen kids change their attitude, you know, making them do that. You know, I put them in a fifth grade or sixth grade situation, say, hey, let's go. We're going to go ref.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden their attitude changes. And you know, that's something I really did in Augusta, and it was kind of neat. We host Summer League in Altoona, and it was last summer. Out of the, we got four courts that go at one time, so eight officials.
Mm-hmm.
Six out of the eight officials were my former players. So it was kind of neat to see that those kids, you know, bought into that. And there's a lot of money to be made, you know, for these, you know, college kids to mm-hmm. to go around and do some officiating and make some money that way too. So, you know, it's kind of something to try to get those kids interested in that. And mm-hmm. so after they're done playing, they can still give back too.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's at every level too, because when I was a sports director at Y before this, and you know, you're kind of the last resort. I, you know, for officiating fourth grade basketball games at the church on a Thursday night or something like that. And yeah, there's some parents that get a little riled up there, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, my go-to move was like to the parent or the coach, and I like kind of handed them, "You want to do this?"
Exactly, exactly.
You know, and that's, kind of
that's
quiet
the number one thing. And it, hey, you want to help out here?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a thankless job, but you need thick skin to do it too at any level.
Right.
I feel like it's at any level at this point.
And, you know, getting to the playoff times now, you know, stakes are a little bit higher, and it gets that, you know, even for officials, it gets ramped up a little bit and gets mm-hmm. exciting that way.
You're kind of in a unique spot because you are a coach, you are a head coach, and you are an official. So how do you go about, like, if on the officiating side, if a coach wants to interact with you or talk with you, or do you give them the time of day? Do you kind of explain something? Because does your coach mindset kind of turn on at that point?
I'm 100% communication mm-hmm. based. If a coach wants to talk to me, if we need to stop the game, any of that, it's we need to communicate and figure out if I made a mistake, if you know you're questioning a call, whatever it is, I will give them the time of day for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the respect I got coaching too, is, you know, once you get to know the group of officials,
mm-hmm.
they will give you that time too. And you know, I'm not going to argue a call. I just want to know what, you know, what happened, what did you see. And then my go-to is, if they're wrong, I'll send you the video. It goes back to replay. So that's my go-to there, is I'll send you the video. It'll be in your email tomorrow morning, and you can tell me what you think.
Nice.
So that's what I mean. I could pull up my phone right now, Dan, and we could take a look at questionable calls I had last year, because they're on my phone saved. And anytime I get a, you know, an official sitting in the vehicle or whatnot, I'll be like, hey, what do you think of this? Send me, you know, what do you think? Mm-hmm. What's the call on this? So I got them on my phone, and, you know, there you go. That's the replay right there of what would you have called.
Do, like, in those situations, if, let's say, you look at the video and it was a wrong call, do you feel bad, or do you like, well, it is what it is, and you move on a little bit?
You do feel bad because, you know, you gave them an earful last night about, yeah, I think you're wrong, and then you watch on film. And the biggest one for basketball is the block charge. It's a bing-bang call, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, it, one way or the other, you always wanted to benefit yourself. So
right.
That's always the, I'll send you the video, and yeah, you might have been right. So, but, you know, and I'll admit that too, you know, and it's that piece of reffing where you got to understand, yeah, I probably did make a mistake, and same thing as coaching. Yeah, I probably did make a mistake. I think you did call it right. So I'll, mm-hmm. I'll tell the official that too, after I get a chance to go back and watch the video. A little bit different in high school. I don't get it right away like you do on the NBA and the NFL format and Major League Baseball, but, you know, high school, everything is recorded too, so you can go back and take a look and get it right.
Speaking of, like, basketball there too, I know we kind of touched on it last time we were talking to you, because you were coaching the All-Star game, and we talked about, like, the difference in, like, the last 10 years of talent level and that sort of stuff. You know, one thing I was kind of wondering, like, one question I know our listener actually had, like, a couple months ago, I think it was the Euro step in basketball. That wasn't a thing when we played, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Didn't know it. And, you know, and even for me, like, not doing it, it's hard to coach it because
mm-hmm.
you're not used to it. So you got to get the, you know, watching a 6'5" guy try to do the Euro step, it's a little awkward.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get these guards to do that, because it is, you know, a play that kids can get away with now.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of what I was going to ask you, like, how do you go about that? Do you coach stuff like that? Or, you know, how do you see it officiated too? Because, I mean, some of these officials probably never played with it.
Exactly.
So
and that's a hard piece there too, is, you know, you teach things like that that are good to go, and then you get in some games and it will be called a travel.
Right.
So it's that whole piece of, you know, what do you try to get away with, and what do you still just stick to the normal, and
mm-hmm.
so you don't get those turnovers that way.
Right. So who was a player, like, when in your playing day, did you emulate a certain basketball player when you were playing?
Ooh, that's a good question. Who did I simulate? I don't know about that. You know, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
You would have watched me. Who do you think? You know, I was...
Yeah, you were...
I was the rebounding guy. That's what I look back at is how many rebounds
well,
I had.
Well, you had some hops, though, too, dude. So don't sell yourself
well,
short a
yeah,
little
you
bit.
Know,
yeah.
And even, like, as I play now, it's like I surround myself with some good shooters because, you know, I wasn't that deep of a shooter. And, mm-hmm. and I look back at what if I could have shot the ball better. So I was more of the inside guy or the 15-foot guy.
I'll tell you the first person that came to mind, kind of like Mr. Fundamental, Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
A little bit.
So. Tim Duncan and, you know, someone always says Karl Malone, too.
That was the second person I had.
He kind of shoots that mid-range shot where not many guys do that anymore. And that was my go-to was that 15-foot elbow shot.
I'm not lying. That was the second guy I had in my mind was Karl Malone, the mailman.
And I think the mailman did a lot of rebounding, too.
Yep.
You know, and that kind of fits around, you know, where I was so successful is, mm-hmm. you know, watching the trajectory of the basketball, where it's going to come off and surround myself with rebounds and then put them in. So.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, it's like when you're a youngster, too, you're kind of emulating, you know, your favorite players. You know, everybody did the Jordan tongue wag,
right,
the thug
exactly,
wag and all
yep.
that. And I remember trying to emulate Shaq's little hop, step, and little hook shot. And now today's game, it's like, well, you got to shoot a 35-footer
right.
or you got to do the Euro step.
Exactly.
It's completely
pulling out
different.
A Steph Curry where you dribble it across half court and shoot it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was like the turnaround jumper, Kobe, Jordan. You don't really hear about that anymore either.
Right.
You
know, those have gone away.
So
it's either how deep can you shoot it or can you dunk it?
As a coach, does that make it almost more difficult when you're coaching these players? Because, you know, they're watching their favorite players on TV and they're trying to emulate that. But, you know, basics or maybe fundamentals kind of get a little bit lost?
Well, not fundamental-wise, but I think the shooting piece. Because that 15-foot shot, I'll tell you right now, we don't shoot it once in practice. Because nobody wants to shoot it.
Yeah.
Where we're going to go, we're going to step back to the three-point line because that's what we want to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the kids buy into that, and they're going to want to shoot threes rather than a 15-foot shot. So
right.
we shoot a ton of threes in practice, and that's why we've been successful is, you know, to get that muscle mm-hmm. memory going of shooting that three-point shot. And that's where, you know, we've had our good success here in the last couple of years is making the threes.
And that's kind of like, is that kind of your mindset too? Like, you got to stick with the times and, you know, you're not a coach like, hey, this is my way or the highway. We're not sticking with the old 90s, you know, inside out sort of thing.
Absolutely. And that's part of my philosophy too, is I kind of coach to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a Coach Henricks, you know, process where we have to do this. It's like my offense, my defense has evolved depending on what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we got a tall kid, if we got somebody who can shoot threes, you've got to find ways that we can put them in successful ways. So,
how would you have handled the Ben Simmons situation if you were Doc Rivers getting thrown out of practice and guy refusing to go into the three-man weave or whatever they were doing?
That's
over
tough. That is tough. I don't know what my response to that would be, but you know, you do get those kids that, you know, don't want to do those things, and you got to find ways to get around it. And,
mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget Sam Cassell's story here.
This is
interesting. Yeah, back at St. John's, we always had the Timberwolves come in.
Yeah,
so they would do their training camp up there, and I got to see firsthand in college Sam Cassell not want to run a sprint for Flip Saunders.
Ooh,
the whole basketball team was sitting there, and he said, "Nope, I am not running." And it was neat to see Kevin Garnett came and kind of grabbed him, and they ran together. So, I mean, it was interesting to see some of those leaders take those guys. They didn't run very fast, I'll put it at that. But Sam finally did do the sprint. So, I mean, you know, kids see that.
Yeah.
Everybody does it, and it's just you got to find ways to get through it.
So was that like the Sprewell era too
that
over there?
Spree was there too, yep. Sprewell showed up. And again,
Wally Zerbiak?
Wally was hurt, so okay. He was always riding the bike on the sideline.
Got it.
Spree rolled in. They all had H2 Hummers with Spree's spinnies.
Oh, my Lord.
It was crazy. 22-inch spinners. I mean, I think there was like 8 of them in the parking lot that day when they all rolled in. And it's just amazing to see those guys work and what they do. And they were able to use our facility at St. John's up there. And it was really neat, you know, one of the things that you'll take with you. So
I was going to say that had to have probably still impacts you, like on the coaching court.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I still got pictures of Kevin Garnett and Dadrian, you know, Dadrian was a baby.
Yep.
And there's Garnett.
That's awesome.
It was the year before he was the MVP. They were there. So I got pictures there. And then they came back the next year when they made the the, was that the conference finals? Or
against
did they
the
make
Lakers,
the finals?
I think. Yeah, they lost to Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah. So then he came back and he was MVP.
04 or something like that.
He was MVP that year, and then they came back again. So really successful year to have them at our facilities.
That's awesome. That is an awesome story right there. Before Macko was there.
Before Macko was there, yep. So, yeah. Then the other neat piece about that is when we started to transition to get Macko here involved, we actually play high school games over at the Target Center.
I remember,
so I took Augusta over. I think we went over there 3 or 4 times, and all of a sudden Macko's rolling in. I'm like, I didn't even put 2 and 2 together that he was working there. And he's like, what the heck? So that was neat to see Macko and you know, kind of build that relationship back too.
Now he's got a ring with the Lakers over
there. Yeah, interesting how that changes too.
I'm sure he's like showing that thing off all the time over there. Goodness gracious.
Bringing that thing back to Medford and saying who else has one of these
right?
in Medford, right?
Exactly. Well, Steve Russ has a couple Super Bowl rings there too.
Right.
So
exactly.
Who's coaching with Washington this weekend.
It'll be neat to see Washington and Green Bay go at it. And hopefully we could see Steve on the sideline a little bit.
Yeah, see if a linebacker makes a play or something like that and get a little TV time.
Exactly.
Cool. So, because I know you mentioned you and Tyler, his little brother, were kind of close. And I think the last time we talked, that was kind of your motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Watching Steve play and in what he was able to do. And Tyler and I hung out nonstop. So, and I haven't seen Steve in a long time, probably since he was back playing. So it'll be neat to see him. And, you know, just seeing him on the sidelines a little bit when he was in Carolina. During those games, so it'll be neat to hopefully see him.
Definitely. You know, one topic we were kind of talking about all the week here, and shout out to our friend Bucky too, who keeps texting and you know that sort of stuff there, Jake. But you know, with the NBA, I think I asked you like your favorite football player as a kid. Did you have a favorite player in pro hoops growing up a little bit? Who was that?
Well, yeah, my favorite was Shaq.
Shaq
was the one that was all around my bedroom along with Dion. So those two were there. It went a little different when he went to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Wasn't a fan after that because it's like you jump ship on Orlando and then all of a sudden my feelings changed there for that. So Shaq was the man growing up, and then once the whole Lakers thing came, it kind of fell apart a little bit for me.
Yeah, I was the same. I was a huge Shaq fan, Orlando fan. He went to the Lakers the day of my birthday and I had a Shaq cake. I still remember listening to the radio and that happened. I'm like...
What was your feeling?
I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a party, too. I had all these Shaq stuff, like, as gifts, and he went to the Lakers.
Then the other one needed a new uniform all of a sudden.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, Penny's my next guy.
Yep.
Penny's
the
next guy.
So just rotate through, right?
Exactly.
Staying with the Orlando.
We were kind of going through, like, the top 75 players because they just released all that. And there was, like, some Giannis was already on there. Would you agree as a 26-year-old that he's already top 75?
I think he is, yeah. The way he's playing and, you know, just what he's done in the league so far, I think he is in the top 75.
And then, you know, Vince Carter didn't make it, which I thought was... I don't
for
know
how long he's played.
Yeah.
Right.
Damian Lillard was on there. Anthony Davis was on there. And I'm like, well, Vince Carter, you know, you remember him with the dunks. And
right, exactly.
I was talking to Brandon. He made a comparison. I was kind of curious. Is he our version of Dominique Wilkins?
I almost would say yeah to that. You know, being able to see Dominique fly and do the dunks he did, I think, Vince Carter is kind of in that same ballpark.
Yeah, so I was like, it's kind of an interesting list. I don't know if you checked it out or anything.
I have not seen the list, so I will have to take a look at that now and kind of see who
it's actually 76, because apparently they got a tie. Yeah.
So who was number one?
They didn't release that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, you know, I would have been kind of curious, because like Kareem was a voter. They had some former players voting and all that, so I'm like... Okay, I'd like to see where, like, the LeBron and Jordan
Where's that debate go?
Yeah, where's the debate go for you?
Well, for me, 23 definitely is owned by Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we live there. I just think the game has changed so much. You know, if you put Jordan on these teams, it's a totally different game. You know, we talked about the three-point line and that and how much more they play outside. And, you know, you put a seven-footer on these teams, can they even keep up?
Right.
You know, the guys that played in the 80s and the 90s, the big guys, you know, where does Shaq fit in? You know, is he able to keep up, you know, with how much they're running up and down the court here? I really just, you know, how much that the NBA game has evolved.
Yeah, it's like, because I remember watching the Last Dance documentary.
Yeah.
And there was a clip, nobody really mentioned it, but it was something I noticed. Like, it was at a shoot-around practice, and they were, like, doing half-court shots. And, like, Steve Kerr was there, you know, and Steve Kerr's a good three-point shooter, right? But he was, like, really trying to get it up, you know, like a half-court shot. And, you know, Jordan just does it, and he does it. But I'm like, Steph Curry isn't like doing all everything
no,
he can
he's
to shoot
normal.
It. Right.
That's his normal shot. From
and I'm like,
court.
That's kind of a, like, to me, it's like, wow. You know, like today, it's like, that's just a jump shot for people.
Right. Exactly.
And how it's changed so much. And Jordan, I read this the other day. He made a comment apparently saying that if he played with like against zone defense, he wouldn't have had the career he had. Would you buy that with like zone defense would have slowed down Jordan a little bit?
I think zones kind of do slow down some of those guys because, you know, you do have some guys that can't shoot it, so you can mm-hmm. you can hide those, you know, in those gaps. And that's, you know, kind of, you know, coaching too. If you don't have the shooters and you can play, you know, and teams play zone against us,
yeah.
it's tough because they cut off the gaps and, you know, so much of it is trying to get to the lane and get to the rim and finish at the rim. You know, so if they're sitting in those gaps, I would agree with that a little bit. I think Jordan would be shut down a little bit if they were able to play zones.
Maybe trying to force Dennis Rodman to.
Yeah, exactly. Dennis Rodman. Right. I tell you, that just watching that documentary about that, too. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't realize all the stories and the things that happened there. You know, we were so young.
Yeah.
But being able to watch that stuff and relive it and be like, oh, man, I remember reading his book in high school that came out. And,
yep.
And seeing the stories that he went through and how he missed practice and missed that, was it
goes
like
to
a
Vegas
week?
Or something like that?
Like during
yeah.
the season, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I mean, now like I almost kind of like view Phil Jackson. You know, I had a lot of respect for Phil Jackson as a coach, but now it's like, dude, you had to coach all those personalities.
Right. And how did you do it and hold it together?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, everybody, I remember as a kid, everybody's like, well, Phil Jackson coached, you know, Jordan, he had Shaq and Kobe, he's not the best because he had. But you got to manage those personalities,
right.
don't you?
Because there are a lot of high-profile people.
Yeah. And those guys weren't doing anything. Like, even Shaq and Kobe weren't doing it, and now we knew that they had some
issues
clashes
too.
There, too.
Right, yeah.
But it's like, I feel like baseball, too, you know, it's not necessarily, like, coming up with game plans or something like that. You got to manage personalities
and
people like
that. And I would
agree,
and even in high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some teams that couldn't get along on the court. Couldn't get along off the court, how do you expect to play basketball together?
Yeah.
And, you know, we could have all the talent you want on paper, but if those kids can't get along, you know, sitting in class or sitting, you know, watching a movie, whatever it is, mm-hmm. there's no way in heck you're going to be able to make them play basketball together.
That's
not going to pass to each other, and it just is rough. And then you get a group who's less talented, who can get along, can do all those things, hang out together, and we can be pretty dang successful on the basketball court, too.
I remember having a debate with my college roommate about that. He was all about, you know, talent's the most important thing. I'm like, because I can't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about a team or something like that. And, like, don't discredit chemistry. Like, chemistry is, I think, the most. And he was a, like, Miami fan, University of Miami and all that sort of, you know, the swag and all that. But he was dead set. He's like, talent is the most important. Hey, not the
Your
most talented team.
Talent makes coaches look real good at times, but I tell you, there is that piece of chemistry that is important. You know, mm-hmm. talent can win you some games, but if you have guys that can play together and that team chemistry is there,
mm-hmm.
you know, watch out.
When you get ready to start your basketball season here, do you do any, like, team-building stuff to kind of get that chemistry? Well, like, how do you start off a season right away? Do you just jump into it right away? You're out in ladders and all that sort of
we
stuff?
We do jump in right away because we have so many kids, so trying to mm-hmm. get things figured out. And then we have our game, you know, first game in, like, seven practices. So it's not right. like we have time to do a lot of that team-building thing. So for me, it's more of we got to figure out who's where, get things organized, get things in that we need to get in before that first game. And then the team building comes after that, you know, try to have some team meals together and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said, go watch a movie together as a team or go bowling. We've hit up bowling a little bit and
mm-hmm.
Hit up Bullwinkles with
with
our
connection.
Other Medford yeah. connection there. So getting a hold of Eric over there and, doing some team bowling and things like that where the kids can relax a little bit and be themselves and not have to worry about basketball all the time.
What would you say or what would you recommend, you know, like how important is it for off-season stuff for like basketball? Because I remember like growing up, you know, I remember my first time as a freshman walking into the team room, Coach Shipman already had the assignments up like, okay, so-and-so is on varsity JV, you know, this is the freshman team, but then you know, there was a freshman that was on the JV team. Well, why is that the case? You know, well, you know, Travis Dowden put in, you know, was doing all the camps and all that sort of stuff. Would you say that's, if you really want to impress your coach or kind of show, do you have to put in the time in the offseason? That's a big thing because, like you mentioned, practice time is limited right away.
I would say 100% on that. And to me, I don't like that as much because, you know, I'm a three-sport athlete push, you know, mm-hmm. with the baseball, basketball, football piece that I played. But these coaches want so much of these kids to get better. And the biggest thing for me is if we're not doing it, you know, the school right down the road is.
Right.
And that's the hard thing. And, you know, so many guys are starting to be one sport, you know, players. And it's like, oh, we need these athletes on every single sport. So therefore we can be successful as a school.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if kids are not putting in the time, they will be behind. And that's just the day and age we live in. And,
yeah,
you know, I look at when we grew up, we didn't play, you know, baseball besides baseball season or basketball.
Right.
We didn't play any AAU. We didn't do anything. We just came during the season. We played a little league during the summer, and
yep,
and we showed up and we worked our tails off. So, I mean, I think that has changed so much, especially for kids now. It's hard for them because every single coach wants you there every single
yeah
time. And like I said, if you're not doing it, the guy down the road is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just, and then yet I think if you play those multiple sports, you kind of see the example of how it benefits you in the other sports. You know, like Devonta Adams, for example, big basketball player, loves playing basketball. Well, look, his crossover off the line, you know, off the line of scrimmage and all that. It's like, kind of wonder if that's where that basketball skills are coming
right
in from.
Absolutely. It's all that footwork stuff. And,
yeah,
that, and you know, I just remember Tyler, when he was getting recruited to play football, a lot of the coaches came to basketball practice. And
really?
Yeah, and it was able, you know, we were able to see that. And we obviously made it real difficult on Tyler in those days. I remember Chad and myself like, oh, look at who's here today, and let's give it to Tyler today and make it hard on him, make him work. So it was kind of neat to see that. And then I was fortunate enough to have a lineman get recruited by Wisconsin out of Augusta. Same thing. He came to basketball practice. He watched his footwork and, you know, able to work on those things. So absolutely, you know, playing those multiple sports does help those mm-hmm kids out.
I want to get, when we wrap it up here, I want to talk a little baseball with you because we got the postseason going on. But, you know, pitching-wise, I wanted to talk, because you pitched in high school, right?
Yep, yeah, I was a pitcher, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I'm thinking about this. You know, I know we got JP Fireisen, who's been on our show. He's over there with, you know,
the Bar Show,
and awesome kid. But, you know, with the pitching and everything with stats and analytics coming in, I mean, when you were pitching, when we were, that was nothing in there. Was spin rate and all that
nothing
sort of stuff?
Absolutely not. And, I mean, you know, just working with these college kids with the Express, same yeah thing. They're looking at all the velocity, the exit velocity, and it's like, holy molies. And for us, it was, can you throw a strike or can't you?
Yeah.
It's like real simple, and now there's so much going on.
I mean, like, when you were pitching in high school, were you just, like, throwing gas every time? Were you just worried about that? And now it's like you got, okay, 5 days rest. You got to do, you know, can't throw curveballs or anything like this in Little League anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there was absolutely nothing with pitch counts, any of that. Like, you know, today, you know, you take our 8-year-old to go play a baseball tournament, and they can only pitch, you know, so many innings in a, mm-hmm, in a Saturday and so many pitches. And, you know, you're keeping track of pitch counts in 8U baseball. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, how – does your arm still good? Like, when I throw hard now, it's like I got nothing, you know, and it hurts the elbow a little bit. I mean, is pitching, like, you know, we talk about basketball and football, how that's changed in like 10-15 years. To me, it's like pitching has really kind of changed in 15. Maybe I'm completely off.
No,
that,
I think,
but
you're exactly right. You know, trying to save arms in that way, and, you know, like you said, you know, making sure that when you get older, you still could pick up a baseball and still throw it a little bit instead
yeah
of your arm falling off. I think that is important.
Man, those guys that can keep going out there and throw 9 innings and all that and 100 pitches.
It's a lot.
How do they do that?
Yeah,
like,
and, you
how
know, with the Northwoods League, it's, you know, there's so many rules on that, how many pitches you
yeah
have and how many days break. So, I mean, that's one of the neat things about that league is they try to keep that really down. So, therefore, when these kids go back to college,
mm-hmm,
you know, then they're ready to go.
What is your take on, like, the whole launch angle sort of thing in baseball right now? You know, Brewers fans are like, okay, what's going on with the hitting? You know, you got all those players. Is it launch angle? They're worried about analytics too much. They're not bunting too much. I mean, what's your thought on that whole
thing?
Well,
again, it goes back to all that technology thing like we talked about with the instant replay. I think there's so much there for guys to try to figure out their swing, mm-hmm, that eventually it comes down to mind games. You know, it's in your head. And instead of just going out there and playing, now all of a sudden you're thinking, where's the bat? Where's the angle? You know, where's all that velocity coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's tough on players because there's so much there that they need to watch. And, you know, the social media and everything is just coming at them.
Yep, exactly. So what do you got for the postseason? What's your World Series picks here?
Oh, man. You know, the Braves really played well against the Brewers, and they are –
without Ronald Acuna Jr. too.
Right. Without him, and, you know, beating the Dodgers right now, and I think they're gonna keep rolling. So I'm gonna pick the Braves.
Astros Gonna get
yep,
it,
I'm gonna yeah. say yep. I'm gonna say Astros Braves, and I'm gonna say the Braves since they beat the Brewers. I'm gonna ride them out.
You're gonna ride them out. Okay. See, like I still have sour grapes. Like it's like one of these four teams. I'm like, I'll watch, but you know it's still a little sour there a little bit. But.
Yeah, and I just enjoy watching the Atlanta ballpark too. The tomahawk chop going and mm-hmm. that just gets me fired up just watching that postseason yeah. baseball a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I think the window's still there for the Brewers, though, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
With those young pitchers
yep,
and that.
They should be a team to be reckoned with. And I tell you, it was a great season for them and just great for Wisconsin.
We've never experienced that.
No.
Four straight years now in the postseason.
Right.
We were happy if they got one.
Right. And so, I mean, seeing the Bucks do well, the Brewers play well, hopefully the Packers can keep going. And I tell you, it's exciting to be a Wisconsin sports fan right now.
Walt, last question for you. I thought about this earlier in the week, and it just dawned on me. I wanted to ask you because I couldn't think of it. In honor of Aaron Rodgers owning the Chicago Bears, like he, you know, said, who was the team, whether it was in high school, that like Medford owned, or who owned Medford? Was there a team that was always kind of like could just never get over the hump when you played? I was trying to think of it back in the day.
Well, I think
was it Wausau in college in football?
I would say in football it was Rice Lake.
Rice Lake, okay.
Because and that's interesting because they play again tonight. They play tonight. That was the team who we kind of always hit somewhere in the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, they would be Big Rivers, we would be in the Lumberjack, and then we'd somehow find a way to play in that. And even Chad sent me and Tyler a message this week, like, how come we couldn't go D3 in the playoffs? Because, you know, we'd be away from some of those teams.
Yeah.
So I think that was one game, and we were never able to get past them mm-hmm. In that tournament. As far as, like, sport-wise, though, like in the conference, I think the big rivalry for us was Lakeland, playing okay. Minocqua. And I mean, we battled through basketball nonstop, and, mm-hmm. you know, same thing with football. It seemed like it always came down to Lakeland versus Medford for the conference championship. So I think that's one of the teams, and I would say Medford definitely had the bragging rights there.
Yeah. Who was the player from – I'm blanking on the name. Wasn't there, like, a stud player from Lakeland? Maybe it was past your time there, too.
Well, I know the Roard vets were always
that's
good.
That's who – yeah.
He went over and played at Stevens Point, and that's who we always battled with on the football field and on the basketball court, and, I mean, even on the baseball field, too. So, yeah, he went over and played at Point and was pretty successful in college.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, during mine, and I'm like, you know, for some reason, why did I always think, like, Wausau to put – like one time homecoming, was it close or something?
That was our senior year.
Okay.
And I'll never forget that either because we ended up throwing a play. This was the homecoming game.
Yep.
That's when Mark Zaluski was there.
Yep.
Played for the Badgers.
Okay.
He was Wausau East running back at the time and goes and plays linebacker for the Badgers. So you can imagine those stories. But we ended
like
up throwing
Derrick
a
Henry
pass.
Running over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trying to, you know, run over the or trying to tackle him as I'm 170 pounds soaking wet. But we ended up throwing a pass and right down tick, tick, tick at the end. I think we're down by five.
Yeah.
So we had a score touchdown. And I thought here's back to the refereeing. I thought I reached the ball across the end zone. The referee marked me down in about the 6-inch line.
Yeah.
And we had one play to try to score here. We called our final timeout, and you know, we were all debating, what should we do here? Quarterback sneak? Do we give it to Tyler? Well, we went for a quarterback sneak, and do you remember, Dan, what happened?
I don't want to say.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was tough. We didn't make it.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
So, I mean, we were inches away from beating Wausau East there. And
that was Jimmy, wasn't it?
It was Jimmy, yep. Jimmy tried to quarterback sneak, and we didn't get in.
Yeah.
And again, I never did see that play on film. If I did reach it across or not, it would be probably tough at the angle that we had back in 2002.
Yeah.
But did I make it over or did I not? I don't know.
Well, you did.
You know, absolutely.
So,
but that official.
I remember that, yeah.
But then we ended up getting a rematch in the tournament.
Yeah.
And we got steamrolled.
That's why I kept thinking Wausau as that one, because I remember the homecoming game. And
right. Yep.
But.
Yeah, those inches. Memories. Inches. Game of inches. It's always a game of inches.
But you kind of remember the losses, I feel like, sometimes more than
the big wins. Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, it's like Jordy was saying the other day. He was telling his kids now, learn to lose sort of thing. I don't know what your mindset is on that. You know, kind of like.
I don't like losing, man.
Yeah.
Don't learn to lose. We'll just keep on winning.
Dude, well, hey, appreciate the time. I know you got a busy schedule, so I love chatting with you every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is one more question I have for you.
Oh, boy.
I heard a little bit. You got a program that helps out kids.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk to you about that.
Yeah, some teachers in Altoona were talking about that. You want to go ahead and talk a little bit about that program?
It's Backyard Dreams, I call it, because... Well, when we were kids in the backyard, you're imagining who you're going to be when you're growing up, like, you know, throwing touchdown passes or shooting hoops and all that sort of stuff. So it's like backyard dreams. But the goal is that so we've been raising some money, the golf outing and other stuff. But for kiddos who, you know, if they love playing basketball, but maybe their family can't afford basketball shoes or something like that, I want to buy them a pair of basketball shoes. Or if they've never gone to, you know, if it's an adult or a kid, they, you know, maybe they're on hard times, not feeling well, they have never been to a Timberwolves game. Hey, we're going to hook you up with some tickets. Or maybe the family just can't afford Little League fees. We're paying for that. We're covering up because it's to help kids able to chase their dreams and passions and goals that way. So
that's awesome. Yep, absolutely.
So if you know of anybody, you send them my way or you let me know because we're going to take them shopping.
That's cool. That's cool, Dan, that you're doing that and giving back to the community that way.
Yeah, definitely. So pass it along.
I will do that.
Awesome. Dude, appreciate the time. Love chatting with you, buddy.
Hey, you too, Dan. Good to see you again, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. Right before basketball, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because then I won't be able to talk to you for a long time.
Yeah, right. Well, it depends. If things are going well, maybe we'll have to get some PR on there.
There you go. Absolutely. All right. Talk to you soon, Polly.
Are you looking to sell your home or buy a new home? Or perhaps you're looking for some land to do some hunting or build your dream home on? Whatever the case may be, you need to check out Woods & Water Realty. Visit woodsandwater.com to check out all the listings out there for new homes, some land for hunting, or to build your new home on. Woods & Water Realty will work with you from start to finish to either put your home on the market and help find that new dream home for you, or that perfect plot of land. Woods & Water Realty, your real estate store. Before we get to our next segment here, I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, Twisted Tea. I love that stuff, Twisted Tea. I'm a big iced tea guy anyways. You know, I've got the instant iced tea in the pantry. That's kind of my go-to beverage and such. But when it comes to tailgating or in the backyard, sitting in the back porch with summer right around the corner, nothing quenches my thirst like a Twisted Tea, especially the man cans. You know, those big ones right there, just getting them out of the cooler, ice cold Twisted Tea. Now they've got a bunch of different flavors. I'm a big the Arnold Palmer type, the 50-50 lemonade and the iced tea. That's my favorite one right now. You know, they got the raspberry, they got the original, and a bunch of different flavors for you to try out. But this summer, when it's getting hot, getting a little warm, and you're sitting in the back porch, you're doing some grill outs, or, you know, you're doing some tailgating for some baseball games, grab a Twisted Tea. It's going to go down a lot smoother, and it's going to cool you down, and it tastes great as well.
All right, T's back in studio. You're kind of like a regular here now.
Yeah,
Ron, dude.
I'm loving it.
I'm still waiting on the hat, just saying.
Oh, hey, wait. Wait, hold on.
No, you didn't. Oh, you did.
Oh, yes. Look at this. We got some new hats on. There you go.
I'm wearing a tree stand this weekend. Look at that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, we got the new hats in. We got another idea for a hat, but then...
No idea?
No idea. Yeah.
For a hat?
We got another idea for a hat. And then we got some No Idea t-shirts being done right now. We collaboration with, I don't know if your listeners know Them Cooley Boys, which is a pretty awesome bluegrass kind of
I've local. Got a bluegrass station saved on my radio,
yeah,
actually.
They are phenomenal. Anyways, Bo, one of the members of Them Cooley Boys, he has this new little, it's really awesome. He basically takes your logo, he carves it out of wood, and then he puts ink all over it, and then he presses it onto t-shirts. And
really?
We're collaborating with him right now, and all the proceeds from our t-shirts are going to go to a conservation, I forget the name of it. We're going to have the gentleman on. He's a DNR warden up north, and it helps kids who are disabled to hunt. It's a pretty cool program.
That's
so all
awesome.
The proceeds of it. I'll let you know next time I'm on.
I want more info on that. That's
awesome.
Pretty cool. Any way we can help,
but
too.
There you go. There's a hat. There's some merch.
I like it. I like swag, baby. You know me. I love it. That is sweet. I'm jealous that you got your own merch.
Yeah, I was hiding that the whole time.
I was going to say, that was pretty good. You. It's not your first time doing that, is that? I like that. What have you been doing since you tagged out? You've been geese hunting, goose hunting, and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we went Canadian goose hunting or Canadian geese hunting. I mean, it was...
Was that your first time?
First time.
Really?
No idea what the hell we were doing. It was awesome. It was awesome. My brother and I got hooked up. We got hooked up with a gentleman who we now consider a no-idea friend. His name's Mike Heppner. He took my brother and my son and I out, and Mike has two other friends that are just amazing guys. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure. Oh, Mark and Scott. So it was Mike, Mark, and Scott. Three guys who have been, they have been goose hunting for probably about 20 years now. And they
brought a couple first-timers with them.
Yeah, and I was like, this is some cool stuff. I had no idea what we were doing, and it was just – and we wanted the whole process. We wanted to go through the whole process. So, yeah, so what we've been doing is goose hunting, and that episode's going to drop here this next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool.
You can look it up on YouTube. Otherwise, we got the link right up on our website, too, because you're
Thank
a pro
you
staff
much.
Member.
Yeah, pro staff. That's cool.
I like that, pro staff. trying to sound big.
You are, there. Dude.
We got to get some swags with the pro staff. Just get block letters like a trucker hat that says pro staff on
pro
there.
Pro staff.
Pro staff of what? Well, you know, pro staff. Pro staff right there. Colder temps, he's going to take the kiddo out anytime? Is he getting itchy to kind of go and sling some arrows now, too? Or?
Yeah, so this we're recording tonight. Or today, it's Friday, we might get out tonight because I think the high of tomorrow morning is like 20.
Yeah, it's 29 or something
29,
like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping to get out, get the kid out tonight, and then we'll see next week. Next week he wraps up with his fall sports and stuff, so we can start sitting in the stand. Of course, now, though, you know, shooting hours are, what, 6:30, 6:15?
Shortening up a little bit, so.
And then we're going to fall back here, too.
Is it that first weekend in November, first Sunday or something like that, they push that back? So, all right. So we'll chat some more outdoor stuff.
Yep.
Obviously, you're on all the time now. You're a veteran at this. I think you set the record now for the most appearances on here.
Yes. That is awesome. I'll keep bringing in swag.
You keep doing it right there, baby. I want to actually talk a little football with you because I like your hot takes.
Oh, boy. Most of my hot takes are text messages sent to the show.
Yeah.
Why I'm driving my kids to school. So
especially when it comes to like Tom Brady, you got some hot takes there too.
I have a love-hate relationship with Tom Brady. I do. I
don't like that he's becoming kind of likable on social media a little bit.
I know.
It bugs me.
He's coming out of his shell post Belichick.
Right?
Right?
I think so.
I think that's showing that I think Belichick had everything pretty much tightened down.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just, personality-wise, just rubs me the wrong way. But I enjoy watching the story unfold, both with his career and then what he does each season.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you and I, to see someone like that again, I mean, that's a generational thing.
Right.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You can have those conversations. Brett Favre, all that good stuff. But when you just look at the work that and what he's accomplished in his year, and to literally what's amazing me right now is the fact that father time doesn't seem like it's caught up to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
He looks actually younger than what he did 10 years ago for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Maybe that's the other part, too, is just jealousy. Like,
yep.
You know, how do you look like that and still doing that? And now you want to play till you're 55.
Yeah.
Like some people, I'm hoping I'm retired by 55. That would be the life right there. But,
that's
gracious.
And he might. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year. And then, you know, because how, you know, you get to a point where I mean, let's be honest. The Buccaneers put together a very veteran team, you know. is Gronk. Last year, I think, was an anomaly for Gronk. He made it most of the year. You know, he's been dinged up. What, he's missed one
with
two games.
Ribs, broken ribs and that.
Yeah, so I mean, and he has a past or a history of missing handfuls of games and seasons due to injury. So I don't know. Can they do it again? We will see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I want to talk a little green and gold with you, though.
Yep, let's do it.
What? I'm going to throw you some questions. Biggest concern? Do you have a concern with this team right now? Biggest frustration?
Right now, you know, to be honest, it's always been defense. It seems like it's always defense. It's fire the coordinator, fire capers. Well, then we get Pet, fire capers and Petten, and but to be honest, right now it's the offense, which is weird when you think about it.
Yeah.
Only because my expectations for the offense this year, looking at the roster on paper, was like, man, if last year was the number one scoring offense, this year's got to be, my God. And it just, I think you said it earlier this week on your show where you feel like they're holding back. It's almost like, it's like the sieve's going to break here soon. It's got to.
Right.
You can't have that kind of offense capability and potential.
Right.
And continuing to stall out in the red zones. I think one of the biggest factors this year or differences that I see is they're not finishing drives, especially when they get into the red zone, like they did last year. So I want to see some more. I know it sounds very like I'm spoiled, but I want to see more offensive output.
Yeah.
I mean, when the defense is holding teams to 17 and 24 points, then Packers should win the game easily, you know, but all the games, even the Bears game, I never once felt like they were going to lose it, but I felt it should have been a bigger win than just a 10 point spread.
I agree. So. Yeah, I feel like the Steelers and the Bears one, even though it was like, you know, kind of close here or there, I never had that feeling like they were going to lose, and I feel like that's kind of like they are kind of holding back, and maybe not on purpose or anything. It's just I feel like they're leaving plays out on the field. Yeah. Like they've got the best wide receiver in the game. They've got Aaron Jones who can do a couple different things, passing game, running game. We know what A-Rodge can do. And it's like, but there's just, it's not quite clicking. I don't know if it's the offensive line kind of in flux there a little bit. They've been playing well, but, you know, maybe that's why Lazard and Bobby Tonyan aren't, you know, putting up numbers like we kind of expected sort of. I don't know, but that's where, for this game with Washington, another team where, you know, defensively not living up to what everybody expected. But if you're asking me which one would I have more confidence in this week to, like, just all of a sudden have that game where, all right, all's good, I feel like it's Green Bay's offense.
Yeah.
You know, I still feel like that's Green Bay's offense. Like, you look at the rankings, they're like, geez, you know, halfway in the league, kind of bottom half of the league in a lot, but you don't feel like that's the case with this team.
Yeah.
And I don't know why yet. I can't quite put my finger on it.
I sometimes feel like there's no watching a game unfold with the eye test is there's no like four quarter rhythm in the offense. Like you'll see them get into a rhythm where they'll lean on Jones or Dylan, and you know, and they march down the field. They have a passing game clicking, and the running game, and they're mixing it perfectly. Where the defense just, you can tell they're on their heels. They don't know what's coming next. And then the next possession, it's all of a sudden like we will have empty backfield, go from the shotgun, and then Rodgers is trying to hit 40, 30 yard, you know, throws, and then they're three and out.
Yep.
And they'll do that a couple times, and then they'll come back in, and all of a sudden. So I just don't. I've never been able to feel like there's been a rhythm, you know, for four quarters straight, where the offense is just clicking, and the defense has no answer to what the offense is doing. You know, I want one of those games where it's like beginning of the fourth quarter, and the Packers are punting and Troy Aikman says, yeah, this is their first punt of the game.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
That kind of game where it's like you're putting up the TDs. If a drive stalls, you're still getting 3 points out of it, but you're not punting. So
right.
I just haven't. So maybe for me, it's like my biggest concern is just the rhythm on offense. But then, man, well this is what, week seven?
Week seven, yeah.
Week seven. So there's can't really have the excuse anymore of like, hey, you know, none of the starters played preseason, so the first 3 weeks is kind of preseason, getting the, you know, you can't use that as an excuse. I mean,
right. Exactly.
We're end of October now.
Well, so. They always say, like, what, the first 3 or 4 weeks, you kind of know your identity a little bit here. And I don't know if it's like they're trying to do new things to keep teams guessing, so they don't want to use the same playbook as last year and that sort of, and then maybe they unload it later on in the season after other stuff's on field. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing stuff against the wall to see if it sticks, at that point. But, you know, I don't think it's a big concern, but something to kind of like kind of keep an eye on a little bit, right? I mean, it's like we know they can be better. I think they know they can be better. So why aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, why aren't they doing that? And I agree with you. The rhythm thing is just kind of off. Like last year, there was a point where, hey, it's 3-5, 3rd-5. You kind of felt like, all right, they're going to pick that up. Like, that's no problem. Now it's like, but the rhythm is just, it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like it's there a little bit. And hey, you're right. It's just kind of weird decisions and play calls at certain points. Like, what game was it when Devontae went out and we thought like he had a concussion or something like that?
Where he took one to the chest.
Yeah, and it was like 3 straight, like drop back and chuck it down the field there a little bit. It's like, so was that the right decision to do that?
Yeah,
you know, at that point was that the right? And then it was kind of getting a little scary there towards. Was that the 49ers game? Or was that, I can't remember off the top of my head.
No, that was 49ers.
Was it the 49ers game? Yeah. So they kind of crept back in there too.
Well, it's like 3rd-5. You've been moving it. And then on 3rd-5, he flings it for 40 yards to Devontae Adams. That's double covered or something like that. You're just like, man, come on. So offense, I would like to see a rhythm and some more output. But then I think coming up here next week, Arizona.
Short week.
Yeah, I think we'll get into a part of the schedule where we will truly see what this D can do. And if this added help is it Merciless? Or
yep.
See if that helps.
I keep getting the Mercy song in my head now. I just stuck in there.
But, you know, I've also been thinking as I've been watching these games, like, watching the Bills game last weekend and stuff. Like, is there a team out there that their defense truly scares you?
That's a good question.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, everything's that's what I love about the NFL is the, you know, how just the parody, like everybody, every week is just a different week. You know, one week we analyze the crap out of the Buffalo Bills and they're practically in the Super Bowl. And then the next week they poop the bed.
Right.
And Rams the same way. It's like, you know, Aaron Donald is impossible to stop, but then they'll turn around and lay an egg. And so I'm always wondering, like, do we have unrealistic expectations for the Packers defense? Granted, we've had a history of not a good defense. But do we have this unrealistic expectation? Because quite frankly, across the whole NFL, you know, it just feels right now like the offense in the NFL is one step ahead of the defenses and they haven't caught up just yet. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see if, once we get into with Arizona, if the Packers offense can keep up with a high scoring, it'll be interesting to see the defense actually how they fare against a really phenomenal athletic quarterback that seems to thrive out of the pocket.
Yeah, he's got some swag and confidence right now.
We know the history of the Packers D and mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their schedule. Like, that's why I look at this Washington game. Like, maybe I'm putting more importance on it than most, you know, because Green Bay should win this game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's why I'm like, well, make sure you do win this game, because after that, it's not going to be very easy. Right. You know, you got Cardinals on a short rest. Then you're at Kansas City, and I know they're struggling, but their offense is still, you know, it's still Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Seattle, we'll see what Russell Wilson.
Yeah, we'll see what,
you know. And then you're at Minnesota, which is always kind of, you know,
I figure split with Minnesota. You got it.
Yep.
Typically every year split with Minnesota.
Then right after that is Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one that's at home at Lambeau, besides the Seattle one. Bears come back. I'm sure they'd like to, you know, punch Aaron Rodgers in the mouth after saying we don't. And then they're on the road to Baltimore. and Lamar Jackson in that. And it's like, and then maybe the Browns will be healthy by that point. Who knows
who
they are at there. So it's like that. It's nerve-wracking. I think not only for the defense, but maybe this is time for the offense if they got to get in a shootout.
Yeah.
Maybe this is where they kind of get in that rhythm and they kind of pick it up a little bit because they might have to be in a shootout in a couple of these games.
Yeah.
But you're right with the Buffalo thing. Like, I was one of them. You know, everybody's floating out, hey, they got the number one defense. They got the number one offense. Last time that happened, it was the 96 Packers. And what happened? They won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And now they just allowed all those points and rushing yards to Derrick Henry. And it's like, okay, and you're right. The Rams were the same thing.
When is the Packers bye?
What December. Week is that? It's okay. Right after the Rams game.
So it's a late. Yeah. They got one of the latest buys.
Yep.
My, you know, the other question mark then is what does happen to Jair, and what really is going to happen with Za'Darius Smith?
Yeah.
If those two are put on season-ending IR, then you know it's great what Goody's doing as far as bringing veterans in to kind of right now. You know, right now, address an immediate need, but hopefully in the future add depth, veteran depth. But if Jair and Za'Darius Smith, if they're out, you know, and King keeps getting dinged up, and stuff. I don't know, man. It'll be interesting. The nice thing right now is, we're end of October. Packers are what two games up on the Vikings, two and a half games up on
Chicago.
You know, and Chicago has a tough game with the Buccaneers this weekend.
Yep.
I know Vikings are
their bye,
but I also think they have the toughest schedule from here on out.
The NFC North, I was looking at, I think it was DVOA, like Football Outsiders. Four of the top five teams with the toughest remaining schedule, all NFC North.
Yeah.
I think the only other one was Baltimore, possibly, but it's ridiculous.
And I'm not saying Packers have the NFC North, you know, all tied up and stuff. But I am saying when you look at their schedules, having a nice cushion of two games up. I mean, for the Vikings to overtake the Packers, it could take till the end of November.
You want to know the next four games for the Vikings?
Yeah.
So they got the bye this weekend. Cowboys. We'll see what.
Okay.
I don't know about. I can't gauge the Cowboys at this point either. Then they're on the road to the Ravens. Then they're on the road to the Chargers, and then they got Green Bay. That's their four great games right after their bye.
So by the time they meet, this could be a story of two tales as far as, I mean, NFC North could be wrapped up by the time they meet.
Yeah, because after that pack, I don't know what the 49ers are going to look like, but they got the 49ers right after that, and they still got to face the Rams in December too. So, I mean... And they, I mean, you know, not to pick on the Vikings or anything, but they haven't looked that great.
No.
You know, I mean, they've lost some close ones. I mean, the Cardinals barely edged them out. You know, Bengals beat them in overtime. Browns beat them. Lions almost beat them. And they barely just beat the Panthers this past week. So, that's I was dead set. Buffalo is the best overall team last week. I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against the Cardinals. But I still feel like they ain't going to win the division because of the Rams.
Right.
You know, it's just like they're really good and they've shown it, but I don't know who the best one is right now.
I think it gets back to what team is the healthiest and what team is clicking on all cylinders mid-December as you move into January in the playoffs. I truly think that. And isn't it crazy to think though, like just 4 weeks from now? That's like an eternity in NFL.
Right.
Like so much can happen between now and then. We could have, you know, Packers could have Jair back, you know, Bakhtiari's back, Jenkins is back, you know. But on the flip side, somebody could go down.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid Rodgers could go down, you know, or Davante Adams could go down, and all of a sudden, you know, your whole season, the trajectory of your season changes. On one injury in one game, and so that's why 4 weeks is just like it's an eternity.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Who is the best player in the league right now, you think?
Boy. Man, I was thinking Baltimore.
Lamar.
Lamar. was stepping it up. But I don't know about his passing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his passing is just so. But then the Cardinals.
Oh, Kyler.
Yeah, he's lighting it up too.
He is.
I'm thinking. But I think, was it today? Was it today's show where you guys were talking like, you know, Derrick Henry is the Madden.
Like kinda, Dez Bryant yeah. had that tweet.
I mean,
yeah.
When I watched him the other night, I was just like, this guy, he's just a beast.
He's not supposed to do that. There's not supposed to be a dude that big that can do what he's doing.
And the hits that he takes and he can continue, you know, the next closest that it can kind of compare is like a Delvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
But Delvin Cook, I mean, doesn't take much and he's banged up, but
right.
Derrick Henry takes those hits and that pounding and it just seems like he's a rock.
Yeah.
So.
And he's always going up the gut too.
Yep.
You know,
yep. Up the gut. Question for you. Have you ever seen, I was thinking about this, after I've been watching and listening, to the talk shows and the sports talking heads. Have you ever seen a coach who's coached his team to 5-1 like McCarthy, who's on a hot seat?
Right.
Well, I wouldn't say he's on a hot seat, but have you seen
the public perception of
him? Oh my God! Just, they're like, today's question was: Is Mike McCarthy going to be the one that prevents the Cowboys from winning a Super Bowl? Is Mike McCarthy going to be the coach at the end of the year for the Cowboys? And I'm like, they're 5-1. I mean, in the NFL, and I don't care how you win in the NFL, a win is a win in the NFL.
Exactly,
but man. Talk about someone. Have you ever seen
that? That's the thing. It's like, what happened? Like, why is there this thing about Mike? It's got to go back to his Green Bay the final years. And, you know, everybody's going to – a lot of people will say, well, that was all Aaron Rodgers and, you know, all that. But my argument, though, too, is like the coaches who have won have also had good quarterbacks, too.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Walsh had Joe Montana. Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. You know, those coaches had quarterbacks. It's not just, you know, one person that thing. But you're right. I don't think I've ever seen a coach go through the public scrutiny that Mike McCarthy has gone through.
Yeah.
Maybe Andy Reid for a while there, a little bit,
yep.
But not to this level.
No.
Even when Andy Reid went to Kansas City, they weren't talking about, you know, him being gone after a second year after he's got to a 5-1 start.
Yeah.
You know, I know Jerry Jones is out there singing his praises and, you know, he has his coaches back. But do you think, though, too, it's also the Cowboys? Like, if Mike McCarthy was with the Bengals and, you know, they're off to a 5-1 start, are they talking about him being the coach? You know, well, is he going to be the coach or not? Because, you know, Mike McCarthy, not to his fault, though, the two stops he's had, Packers and Cowboys, two iconic franchises, the focus is going to be on you. So every little thing, you know, it's going to be hyper-focused, especially with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know,
the microscope you're under is different, I'd imagine, with the Cowboys.
But then I was thinking about this the other day. Say the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy as head coach. Does he get Hall of Fame talk? Or is this all this talk about, you know, well, was that Mike McCarthy? Does that hurt his potential Hall of Fame chance?
Yeah.
Because... I think you got to think about two franchises he's taken to win a Super Bowl then.
Yep.
That's Hall of Fame credentials right there.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, does he take a hit because of the press right now?
Yeah, the press. And what's fascinating, it seems like it all hinges on his ability or lack thereof around clock management.
Yeah.
That's like everybody keeps bringing it up. And
Andy Reid was like that, though, too.
Yeah. And now they're talking... You know, they bring it up and they say, see, Aaron Rodgers is who Aaron Rodgers is. It wasn't Mike McCarthy that created Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
It was Aaron Rodgers that created Mike McCarthy. See, you know, so that talk to me would hurt, you know, you talk Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, but the scrutiny the poor guy has taken is just... It's unreal for that.
Like, I am not a Cowboys fan,
no.
But I also like to see chaos at times in the sports world. So if it's not at the hands of the Packers, I kind of almost want to see the Cowboys win one. As much as I don't know, I can't believe I'm saying this. I almost kind of want to see them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just to see what the narrative is going to be then for Mike McCarthy.
Yep.
What that narrative is going to be, like that talk. It's kind of like the Eli Manning Hall of Fame talk. Well, is he in? Does he deserve it? Well, one side that's going to help McCarthy is that, well, it's two iconic franchises he won a Super Bowl with. He took, I think he might be the first one to take two franchises to win. I could be wrong, or one of the very few that's actually won a Super Bowl with them. Because Holmgren took two, but he never won with Seattle. I want to see that narrative. I want to see that what if. Because it's going to be talked about. But, again, it goes back to the first question. How much credit does he deserve?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like,
how much credit versus, you know, how much is Dak Prescott getting the credit for where the Cowboys are at?
Right. Because I want to look up his wins right now, because I think he's – because, you know, Andy Reid, I think, is a lock for the Hall of Fame. But he's got one Super Bowl win.
Yep.
You know, he's been to three of them, two in the last 2 years. The other one was with Philadelphia, and he lost to Belichick. Yeah. But he's got all those regular season wins. But you got, like, Marty Schottenheimer, who's got all the regular season wins and no Super Bowl. But he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I got to see how many Mike McCarthy has. I got it, because I think it's getting up there. So we've got, Mike McCarthy has the 26th most wins. He's got 136 right now. He's probably going to pass this year Tony Dungy, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He's got three more to tie him. Marv Levy, he could potentially pass this year with nine more wins. He's in the Hall of Fame. Sean Payton's got more. Pete Carroll's got more. Mike Tomlin's got more. Bill Cowher, he's probably going to pass if he's there next year. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's got a chance to climb up close to 10, top 10 in wins. So if you add another Super Bowl.
Yeah, on paper, I bet you – if you lined up all the statistics on paper and didn't attach names to him, I bet you he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think.
And is that the way you should go about with Hall of Fames, though?
You should, because I think what's going to hurt McCarthy is he's going to be forever tied to Aaron Rodgers and the tenure at Green Bay. And everybody, what does everybody say? How can you only have one Super Bowl with someone who's going to be considered the GOAT of all time for as a NFL quarterback. And so I think when you see McCarthy's name up there, now that all might change if he does bring home the Lombardi trophy for the Cowboys. But right now, I just think everything hinges on the fact that he's tied to Aaron Rodgers and to only one Super Bowl, only getting to one Super Bowl, and some of the questionable decision making through the course of his tenure at Green Bay.
Do you think that kind of hurts Holmgren though too a little bit? Because like the one thing that kind of perplexes me with this Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, is like, no offense to like the Bill Cowers and all that, but he won one.
Yeah.
Holmgren went to three, and I know Cowher went to two, I think. Yeah, because he lost to the Cowboys. Holmgren went to three, took Seattle there, took Green Bay twice. He won one. You don't hear his name mentioned too much, but does he get knocked because he only won one with Favre?
Yeah.
Is that why he's not in there maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't hear him a whole lot talked about that.
Yeah, and when Holmgren went to Seattle, he had a... I mean, he
had to rebuild that whole thing over there. You know, and he went with Matt Hasselbeck as his quarterback. You know, and it's just, you don't really hear his name mentioned too much. And I always kind of like, why? Why not? If everybody talks about how, you know, and he had a good record.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Shanahan, you don't hear him talked about either. And he won two Super Bowls with Elway.
Yep.
But I don't know. It's the coaching Hall of Fame, or the coaches that get in the Hall of Fame, to me is kind of a weird...
Because some will, you'll even hear the argument that Cowher, you know, shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there'll be that argument. So that's hard. That's above my pay scale.
Yep.
As an individual, but it gives us sports people some topic of conversations at the bars.
Tom Coughlin might be another good one to figure out too. Two Super Bowls, and I'm just kind of looking at his thing, and he's got a .632 winning percentage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's higher than Bill Parcells, Marv Levy, you know, those guys.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see McCarthy's, time with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. How, you know, what he actually accomplished, how long he stays there, and I don't know, because I didn't anticipate the Cowboys being 5-1 right now.
No,
through this, you know, and I think that's a testament to their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a couple in-game decisions that McCarthy made that they shouldn't be sitting 5-1.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But that's the best part of the NFL.
No, week in and week out, every given Sunday, right?
Yes. Yep. I will be fascinated though. Not excited about this conversation, but this off season, watching Rodgers play, he obviously cares. He's having fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's having fun, and to see what the Green Bay brass, and Rodgers do if this is truly the last polka, if this is truly, it, and they got to part ways and they're divorcing. Depending on how the season plays out,
mm-hmm.
Does Green Bay step back and say, okay, we've had one full off season, and preseason, which we got to watch Love, we got to see Love. Are we confident that he can take the reins and mm-hmm. we can part ways and get something for Rodgers, or do we need to reevaluate and kind of swallow, eat some crow and say, hey, I don't know.
I think a lot, and I don't know if he's going to be able to answer this, but if it were me, like if I was Goody or Murphy, I'd approach Rodgers like, can you guarantee us 3 years?
Yeah.
You know, can you guarantee us you're not going to up and retire after 1 year?
Yeah.
If, then, if you can guarantee us 3 years, we're going to look and try to get something for Love, bite our losses. We're not going to get a first-round pick in return. We know that. But if you can guarantee us 3 more years,
yep,
let's make it work. We'll sign you. We'll re-sign Devontae. We'll make it work. I don't know if Aaron can do that, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like he might say, well, I want to play, but will you?
Yeah.
Will you? That's the main thing.
Because I don't think for us Packer fans – next year is going to be something that we are going to experience that we've very seldom had to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first year that Rodgers took over and they were, what,
6-10?
Yep. 6-10. But if everything plays out and Rodgers is gone, next year truly is the beginning of a rebuilding.
Yeah.
And I don't think most of us fully understand what that entails in the NFL because
even like – when Thompson came and they had those years, you still had Favre.
Yeah.
You still had that quarterback that you knew about, you could count on. And this would, if that's the case and they completely move on, it's like, but like you said, you didn't really kind of know about Rodgers. Like, I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid right away with Rodgers.
No,
I
even texted my brother and said, Rodgers is not the franchise. He's not the future of the Green Bay Packers. I told my brother that.
I
wasn't there.
I wanted them to draft Brady Quinn, even though they had Rodgers, for crying out loud, because I wasn't sold on him.
And now look at us.
Yeah, we're idiots. So.
This is why we're living in Eau Claire in a studio hanging out.
Exactly. So. Well, dude, hey, that's good stuff right there. Let's keep doing this, all right?
Let's do it.
I got to get out to the woods.
Get out to the woods. You send me a text.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you up for coming in? I will be here, man.
Next time, I'll have some cold beers on tap, though, too, if you're ready for it.
Yep.
They're good with that.
Please. I come here. I drop the kids off. This is why I love hanging out with you, because my routine is I drop the kids off at school,
mm-hmm.
and then I hit up the local VFW watering hole for breakfast and a bloody.
Nice.
And I come here, hang out, and then I don't know what I'm doing next. Maybe a nap. We'll see. But I'll be here, man. I'll be here. Yeah, good luck out in the woods.
Yeah.
The colder temperatures, I think this is going to be the next couple – well, next week, next Sunday is Halloween.
That's right.
And that's kind of like – that's where I got my buck last year.
I remember you last sending me that message.
Last year on Halloween.
Yep.
It was, because I never get to go hunt on – 2 years ago. Never get to hunt on Halloween and – I had my parents take the kids to school so that I could get out in the early morning. And
Was that your biggest buck to date?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that night, beautiful eight-pointer,
mm-hmm.
beautiful eight-pointer Halloween morning. So, and then usually I'm out in Wyoming during the rut doing mule deer hunting, but not this year. We didn't get – our tags didn't get drawn, so.
Gotcha.
It is what it is. So I'll be in the stand with my son during the rut and hopefully a lot of action.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Awesome. All right, I'll have the cold ones next time. You're in, bud.
That sounds good, man.
Appreciate it, bud. Looking forward to the next video. Geese hunting. Goose
yeah.
hunting.
Yep, geese hunting. Another quick shout out to Mike Heppner and his buddies for taking us out and teaching us. The number one rule I learned from Mike Heppner was you got to hunt the geese where the geese are. He taught me that. It was so. We went out Friday morning. He showed me. Basically, we met early morning, like 6:30, and we just went out east of town. Out into the fields and just drove in circles, waiting for them to get up in the air, figuring out where they were, what water they were roosting on, and what field they were flying to. And then the next morning, we went to that field and that we saw them in, and it was pretty cool. I learned a lot about geese, and I learned that we were in the field that they were in. It was just we were about a mile off, but it was awesome. It was awesome.
Good deal.
So.
All right, dude. Well, appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, man.
You got it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Man Cave Podcast. But can you do me a quick favor? Can you subscribe, follow, like, and share the podcast? And, you know, rate it, like if you're on iTunes or anything like that. Just make it a good rating. That way other people can find the podcast, too. Hey, we're everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, you name it. We're all over. Spread the word about the Man Cave Podcast. Until next time, I'm Dan Casper, and we'll talk with you later.